Amen. I just want to get my crypt notes open here. If you can give me a couple of seconds. It is very awesome to be back, to be honest. I think that was such a special time of worship. Feels like when you're in the busyness of a term, then you feel like, oh, where's holiday? And then you get to a holiday and you're like, oh, I've missed my people. So it's so great to be back. There we go. So this evening I want to title my preach. I don't have actually a legit title slide. I'll do better, guys, next time. But I titled my message, The Full Number. The Full Number. And the full number came from actually observation through reading the book of Acts, Handelinge. And the book of Acts starts with the birth of the early church, and the full number comes from an observation of looking at these early believers and looking at their lives, which is radical as can be, and looking at one characteristic of their lives, which I've titled The Full Number, that we can learn from them. So it will make sense in a very short while as we consider a couple of scriptures and then just see what the Lord has for us as a congregation. This is way more going to be a preach of almost like a leading preach. I want to lead us into something as a congregation, more than teaching on a specific topic. From next week, we're going to start actually looking for a couple of weeks, maybe. I don't know how many weeks. We've got to look at the topic of love and unpack that thing from multiple angles. And I'm looking forward to that. So that's going to be more teaching, but for tonight, more leading. Make sense? So let's open up your Bibles if you have that. You are a Christian and a church, so you should have a Bible. But otherwise, if not, we bless you to be with us, and you can just look on the board. Acts 2 verse 41, we're going to start reading. It says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 souls were added to their number that day. So let's pause there. I'm going to pause at basically every verse. And this is the birth of the early church. There was 120 disciples, and then Peter stood up to preach, and 3,000 extra got saved. So at this moment, we have 3,120 disciples. That was the full number at that stage. We go on to the next verse that says, they devoted themselves. Who's the they? The full number. Just the previous verse that told us the 3,120 of them devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. All of them, every single one of them, was given to the church. They were given to the teachings of the apostles. They were given to fellowship. They were given to these different things, every one of them. Then it goes on to verse 43 that says, everyone was filled with awe and the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. I think it should have been incredible to see this multitude of people, these many people, the full number of them being in awe of what God is busy doing. And I think there's something of a window for us looking at the hearts of the early believers, how they were in awe of the miracles and the signs and wonders and just the work of God that was busy happening. We're about 200-ish in this room. Every single one of us being in awe of the work of God. Every single one of us being in a place of looking at these testimonies and hearing about the provision of God, people going to Zambia. And I've heard of even Sean in her studies. She was a wreck about 6 months ago. And we prayed. And we trusted with her, and she saw miraculous breakthrough even in her studies and things like that. And everybody is in awe. God is at work in Sean's life. But amen. And it goes on to say in verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common, every single one of them. They sold their properties and possessions. They gave to anyone who had need. Every day, they, every one of them, continued to meet together in the temple court. They had like church every day, a church service every day. But they were given and devoted to this cause, to this movement that is about to start, that they are busy changing the world. They were given to this. We find out that just two chapters later, Acts 4 verse 32 to 33, it says the following: once again, all the believers were of one heart and of one mind. Isn't that incredible? We are 200 here. Is all of us of one heart and of one mind? They were like over 3,000, and they were of one heart and of one mind, seeking the Lord. And it says no one, the Greek word for no one is no one, claimed that that any of their possessions were their own. Yeah, she caught it just now. Yeah, thanks, Gary. She's from Malmesbury. Sorry, guys. Possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. And it goes on to say, and I love this, with great power the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And then this, and God's grace was powerfully at work in them. All. Every one of them. And the grace of God, genade van die Here, is not just only that we've received grace, like we've received something that we don't deserve, but the grace of God is also the empowering of the Spirit, that we have been graced, we have been empowered to preach the gospel, that the grace of God was at work at all 3,000 plus of them, that we see God is bringing holiness there, God is bringing, in a sense, boldness there to preach the gospel, God is breaking off, by the grace of God, fear here. It's amazing. That is my prayer for us, that I could look across a crowd, but that God's individual hand is on every single one here. The full number, and the grace is working in their hearts. It goes on, Acts 5 verse 12 says, the apostles were performing many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers were meeting regularly in the temple in the area known as Solomon's Colonnade. By this time, there has been a multiplication, so we find there's about 5,000 plus-ish, we don't really know, disciples at this stage, followers of Jesus, and that full number were meeting together. And in our modern day language or modern day context, that would be like a gathering. Okay, you guys know the gathering. That's where all the Josh Gens come together, the full amount, the full number, meeting together. So this was not your average Joe every Sunday / Saturday meeting, but they were coming together as the full number. So we find that it was so devoted to say, oh, the people are meeting together, I'll be there. And there was something in their hearts that they knew that they belonged. And I have other verses here, but you can come ask me. But we do find this pattern continuing all through the book of Acts, that there was a heart that was given of one heart, one mind, one purpose, given to the cause of Christ, given to the resurrection, and given to what God has called them to be as a people of His own possession, that there's something in them that they knew that they belonged to something way bigger than themselves. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Like, really? Maybe ask yourself that. Or are you part of a church, like a church name? That I'm the Josh Jen guy, I'm the Shofar guy, I'm the Every Nation guy. Or is there something in you that my life has been bought with a price? That there's something that I belong to something so much greater and bigger than myself. The world teaches us that individualistic culture. The Bible actually has very little to do with that. It speaks about the body. It speaks about the church. It's corporate, the full number. And it brings us in and speaks of us as an individual, but it's actually as an individual. God looks at Josh Jane 6 p.m. and He says, as an individual, as you guys, the full number, give of yourself, devote yourself. Amen. So, what I want that as the foundation, as an introduction to this message, I actually want to look at something this evening that I want to lead us into. And I think many times we can come to church and we can receive our what to do better preach. We can come here and like, okay, Henry, tell me what to do. What can I do better? But I think sometimes we need to pause and say, what are we already doing well? Otherwise, we can get a warped view of Christianity and of Jesus that he's like your personal coach. That you go to Virgin Active and you pay somebody to have a coach, and they just train you, and you can do better, you can go harder, you can run farther and faster, and you can pick up more weights, and that can be your Jesus. Just do more. But I think God is so much more than just that. That I think he looks at us and he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. These things I actually commend you for. And I wrote down some things that I want to commend us for, because I do think it's the grace of God. These things are not natural things. These are not things that is... That's my baby. He's climbing the stairs. It's cute. So Josh in Stally 6 p.m., I think we are doing incredibly well in fellowship. The party. I think there's something of a warmness when you walk in here, that people truly actually love one another, but they also like one another. In my wedding vows, I says, I like you and I love you, both of them. It's not just I choose to love you, like I like you actually as well. And there's something of that in us. Fellowship of drawing people in. I love actually contacting in the week visitors to ask how has their experience been with us, and maybe to, if they want to get involved a little bit more, to invite them to one of our community, our small groups in the week. And I love it when I contact them and they tell me, no, don't worry, I've already been invited. I'm like, oh, okay, nie lekker. By who? No, about 4 other people. I'm like, oh, okay. And that makes my job quite easy. I don't need to contact people. And it just shows the heart of inclusivity. Like, the church should be a family, but I always ask this question, what kind of family do we want to be? I come out of a divorced household. We don't want to be that type of family. But there's something of a family that continually wants to be inclusive, and I think we're doing well in that. So well done. I think to connect with that, I do think actually we're doing well in evangelism. We have a truckload of visitors. They don't just like, oh, church, that should be cool. Nobody thinks church is cool when you don't know Jesus. It's like, oh, church, especially those that clap hands. But there's something of a heart that loves, there's something of a heart here that loves what God is busy doing and say, people must see. Inclusivity. Say, I found life here. I found water here. I can see you are thirsty, and bringing them to the well of Christ, bringing them to the Lord. So I think we're doing well in that. I also think we're doing well, and this is a strange thing because every single week we're doing finance teaching and things like that, but I do think actually we're doing well in our giving. You guys are actually tithing. Well done. But it is something that is like, oh, the money is looking well. It's not that. It's not looking well, you students. You don't give a lot. I'm not meaning that. But there's something of a heart that where your treasure is, your heart will be also. That is something that if you value fitness, like Sebastian and his T-shirt, and not wearing long things, because he has arms, like not many of us, that he pays money to CrossFit. That's like super expensive because he values that in his life, so he gives money towards that. And I think there is a principle in that, that if you place your money in a place, your heart will gravitate towards that place. Likewise, if you want to be somebody that has a heart for missions, when last have you sowed money to somebody else going on a mission or saved money for a mission? So, there was a stage in my life that not myself, but I enjoyed the sport of bodybuilding. Okay. And why I enjoyed it, because I had a very much a appreciation and a, in a sense, a curiosity regarding these ladies and gents, their lives. Because there was such a devotion to them, to looking, I don't know, beautiful or something with their bodies. And the way that they trained and how disciplined they were in all facets of their life, dedicated to the cause to make it work. And the thing about bodybuilding in a competition is they don't just get judged on their big arms. They get judged on the full picture and the full in a sense, from head to toe of how well they are built. So they go all year around training different facets of their body so they can look presentable on stage. And I think as the body of Christ, we have neglected that sometimes we put on not skinny jeans, but more like swag pants because we have skinny calves. And we're like, let's just not show people that part of us. But we're doing well in the fellowship and we're doing well in the loving one another. But we're looking great. But I do think the Lord is calling us to a place to, in a sense, put on the BT brookie and look at the calves and say, yes, we're doing well in certain areas, but it's so important that the body in totality is healthy so that we are grown up in love. And the one area I want to look at, and we've preached actually the most in this congregation on this, but I think there's something that the Lord is really pressing his finger on, is the area of prayer. And specifically corporate prayer. Acts 2:42, we can put that up again. The full number devoted themselves to a couple of things, but the last one of that four pillars in the early church was to pray. That there, and devotion means to give of yourself sacrificially. That there's something of a givenness in the heart, that they looked at the apostles' teaching, they look at fellowship, they look at breaking of bread, and they saw prayer, and they gave of themselves and built it as a pillar into the first church and say, we are given to this. And I think there's something for us to learn from this, that God is calling Josh Shane Staley 6 p.m. to pray. And more specifically, corporate prayer. Amen. Woo! Okay, thank you all four of you. That's so excited. those four were probably at prayer meeting earlier. The thing is, I think it's 5 days' time. Is it 5 days that the Olympics is starting? It's 5 days. Exciting, eh? I love Olympics. Because it feels like there's like millions of sports going on at the same time. You could just, not that I have DSTV, but when I had DSTV because of my parents, I could go through the channels and look at all these different sports. And the Olympic Games originated actually as a celebration of something. It was a celebration of the ability of humans. To put it as in different disciplines and in different sports, it was celebrated how far humans can press their ability. And that's why the big thing everybody loves about the Olympics is because the boundaries of human ability gets pressed a little bit further. And what do we call that? A world record. And everybody loves to watch world record attempts or Guinness World Book of Records. And we watch it over and over. I remember when I was in primary school, I went to the library and just took the Guinness World Book of Record and just go through that thing. Because there's something of humans stretching their ability and stretching how well they can do something or how fast they can run and how far they can run and how weights they can pick up and just things they can do that we like. There's something in that that is just, so like, that is amazing. But I think that mindset of the celebration of human ability has crept into the church, and we celebrate how much we can do without God. And a sign of that is prayerlessness. A sign of that is say, God, I'm going to try as far as possible to do it without you. And then if I can't, then I invite you in. That's called pride. That we love to celebrate our own ability and see how much we can do it without the Lord. Mervis is one of the elders in Josh Jen. He once said, a prayerless life is a sign of prideful living because independence is not from God. We were created for dependency. We were created for a relationship of being dependent on the Lord, being, in a sense, partnering with Him, not leaning on our own strengths, but leaning into the grace of God, and then we're able to do it. And I think especially when it comes to prayer and to pride, these two things, when we lean into pride rather than prayer, we find ourselves actually in a difficult space because James 4 verse 6 says that God resists the proud. That there's something when God looks at a prideful heart and a prideful person that it's like he has displeasure with that thing and he can't associate with it and he starts to in a sense, gravitate away from pridefulness. And this was written to a church, by the way, not unbelievers. But there's something of when we are independent from the Lord looks at that and like, I can't associate with that because you are a glory sucker. You suck the glory away from God to ourselves. And the thing about that is that initially God is gracious enough to allow us to continue in great worship and feel the Lord and being at work. But if we lean into prayerlessness or to pride, there might come a point that the Lord looks at, oh, I don't like that actually. You look great. You have the appearance of godliness, but I'm not in that. It's all man's effort. That's why we find in Revelation 3 verse 1, Jesus speaks to a church and he says, to the angels, to the angel of the church of Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds, he says to the church. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. You look great from the outside. You love people and you're doing all of these things. You look great, actually. But there's something of death within you. And I think prayerlessness can be exactly that. That we look connected because our hands are in the air. Because we know the next song. We know when to jump when the hype starts. And we know where to kneel when the song gets, may we never lose our wonder. I'm just joking. But there is something in that, that we know the church lingo and the church format, that we become professional Christians, but we are no longer connected. I think that's the word that has been coming out from the prayer meeting until now, that God wants to come and establish us, root us in his love. And I think there's a rooting that God wants to come and do through prayer, through corporate prayer, and establish us in him. James 4 verse 22 to 3 says the following. He says, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. Speaking about desires, and you're trying to do it in your own human effort. But then it says, you do not have because you do not ask God. Isn't that an incredible verse? On the one hand, there's certain things that we don't have because we've never asked for it. And I'm for certain, and for I'm really sure for us as a congregation, I think there's things that the Lord has for us, but we've never asked as a church. I think there's something here for us. And it's not, this is like, oh, shucks, there's things that we don't have. We need to see it in the positive light. There's things that we could ask for, and God can give it. Obviously, there is T's and C's apply, just with the next verse. Because it gives the heart posture of how we need to ask. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. So ultimately, we don't ask just to get things for ourselves, but we ask for things so that he can get the glory. So I think as a congregation, I think there's an opportunity for us in God to unite around corporate prayer and say, God, we want to ask you for the life of God in our midst. We want to ask you for breakthrough. We want to ask you for freedom. We want to ask you for revival. We want to ask you for salvations. We want to ask you for healings. We want to ask you for love. And then God says, obviously, that's the things I desire for you. And it's not so that we can look great, but on the one hand, it is actually that we can look great. So that we can be that city on the hill that cannot be hidden, that the whole world will look at and say, that is the church of Jesus Christ, and say, that is where we will find hope. Bear fruit and glorify your Father. There's something in our bearing of fruit, in looking like the Lord, that we look like his Son. If we look like Jesus, the Father looks, that looks just like my Son. I can bless that. And as we look more like him because we've asked, there's something beautiful that happens. We find in just a chapter later, James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And then it says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Another translation says, the prayer of a righteous makes great power available. Hallelujah. God, is there power that we haven't tapped in? And it's not like a charismatic thing that I'm saying, yeah, we need the power. It's not like that. But I want to say we need the power. There is something in God that we need to be strengthened by the Spirit. The world is becoming more and more wicked. Sin is not going to go away overnight. There is something that as the Church of Jesus Christ, we need to pray, and the righteous need to come together and petition the Lord and say, God, we need you here. We need your life. We need your presence. We need your love. We need God in our midst. And it comes through praying. It comes through asking. It comes through petitioning. It comes through coming before the Lord as the full number, devoting ourselves to this and saying, God, I'm given to this. I'm given to this. Can you see this in the scriptures? Can you see that God is calling us to it, not just a season? I think many times, oh, we're going to pray for the next 3 weeks. To a life. A life of speaking to the Lord. I'm not going to say I'm going to speak to my wife the first 6 months and then we're like, yeah, we're done, yeah. It's a lifelong relationship. It's a lifelong givenness to actually asking, to relationship, to being with one another. So for some of you, this might be very daunting. It is to me as well. I dislike praying in front of people. It's awkward, really. But it's awkward praying alone as well, so it's both is sometimes awkward. There's something of a wheel alignment is off in this area. We don't like praying. There's something of a vulnerability that it brings, a nakedness that it brings. It brings an uncomfortable feeling, and I get that. But our emotions can't triumph over obedience towards the Lord. We can't allow just how we feel to dictate our end goal. There should be something that we stand up and say, but God, I see it in your word. I see that you're asking this of us. I'm seeing it. Help me in this. So one of the things, or a couple of things I wrote down is, yeah, maybe a question in your heart is, I don't know how to pray. There was a time that I also didn't know how to pray. And maybe two tips is pray the Bible. Pray Scripture. John 3:16, for God so loved the world in such a way that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him will be saved. God, I thank you for sending your Son. Jesus, I thank you for your willingness. And I thank you for your love to die on a cross, to make a way that if we believe in you, we can have eternal life. Amen. That's a prayer. And we prayed Scripture. And secondly, is actually to join a corporate prayer meeting and seeing how other people communicate with the Lord. I love seeing somebody that is just those prayers that you know he moves the Lord's heart there. There was something of a genuineness. There was something of a connected heart. There was something of, I want that. I want that. Why? It's real. That person knows the Lord. Why is the one thing that the apostles came to Jesus? Jesus, teach us how to pray. To a large extent, they knew how to pray. Empty words. But they saw that relationship. They saw that connection. Say, teach us to pray like you. You know the Father. Maybe you say, I've never prayed in front of people. This is a good place to start. And it is daunting. There is fear. But once again, we can't let fear triumph over obedience to the Lord. And one thing I thought about is, what if disciplined prayer or corporate prayer in a time slot is killing the life of God, and it's not that spontaneous like a relationship should be? I don't like disciplined prayer. I like more spontaneous type praying. I want to say that's a lie from the enemy. Because every single one of us are extremely disciplined in eating. I'm going to give away my age, but for 28 years, yo! Yeah. Warren, no, I'm joking. For 28 years, I've been extremely disciplined in eating. I love eating. Sometimes it's been twice a day. Sometimes it's been three times a day. Sometimes it felt like 20 times a day. And the life has never drained out of my eating. there's always been something that I now want to be more disciplined in eating. And the more I eat, the more flavors I want to try and try more combos. And I love that nice toasted bun and like a nice burger patty on top of that and the melted cheese and the avo and like a hash brown and like the bake. Passion. I'm hungry. So there's something in that, that you've not lost your passion for food just because you're disciplined in eating three times a day. Why? Why with our prayer life we're like, yeah. I think the enemy has tricked us just into prayerlessness. Just because you brush your teeth doesn't make it not helpful. Making your bed is a cool thing, and some of you do it, some don't. But for me, it helps my brain think it's neat and things like that. So I'm disciplined in making the bed and eating and doing these things. So likewise, I think just disciplined praying shouldn't lead to lifelessness. We're actually tapping into the life of God because we're approaching His throne with boldness because of the blood, because of Jesus. Amen. And maybe on top of that is, for some of us, I don't know, you might be visiting here, and I want to say prayer is something miraculous. It is reserved for the believer, you know. It's something that we have to communicate with God that others don't have. Because if you don't believe in something or someone, then it will be very awkward. But if you believe in God, you can communicate with Him, and there's something of our communication that has been made available that has not always been available. You know that. That when you read the Old Testament, they had to go through a mediator, through a Moses, and they say, Moses, go and tell God. You go and tell God. And then Moses goes and speaks to the Lord, and the Lord speaks to Moses, and then Moses comes back and says, God said. But through the new covenant, God granted us access that every single one of us are now able to come before the Lord, not because we are great, but we know His Son. We know His Son. And now we have access to come before the Father and pray through the Son, by the Spirit, to the Lord. And there's something of a miraculousness and something of a privilege that we have as believers that we can speak to our God, that we can communicate with our God, and He can communicate with us. And there's something that if you're a visitor here and you're checking out and you're like, what is all of this about? I want to say, you have the privilege, actually, to sit here tonight, to hear my words and to hear this, that Jesus Christ died for your sins and took the punishment that you deserved. And you know you deserve punishment. Why? You sinned. Something of a justice system is built into us. When there is a wrong, it needs punishment. That's why we have jails. Even the secular government recognized that there needs to be justice. There needs to be correction. That's why with humanity, there needs to be correction because of our sin. But Jesus looked at that and said, they will never be able to fix that. And Jesus came to fix it. But some of us look at that free gift and despise it. But it's still a gift available, freely given. I want to say, if you're sitting here and you've never received that gift, it is available. Not just to get your one-way ticket into heaven, but something of a relationship with the Lord. Not something, a true relationship with the Lord. That you can communicate with your God, and your God can communicate with you. That is incredible. Amen. So, I want to give an opportunity for that group just in a bit. But for those that call this home, Josh, Jane, this is quite a family type message, because I want to ask us actually to give ourselves to corporate prayer. And this is how we're going to do it. This is how we do it. So for a while now, we had two prayer meetings. We're going to get very practical now. We had two prayer meetings. We had one morning, early morning prayer meeting on Tuesday, and then we had one, a pre-service, just before the service prayer meeting every week. So what we're going to do for a season is we're going to pause or close down the Tuesday prayer meetings for now, for the foreseeable future. And as a group, as the full number, we want to devote ourselves to the one prayer meeting happening just before the service. Okay? We are not just going to pray for the service. We don't just want Jesus to rock up for 2 hours and then kumbaya. We want him to continually be with us. So we're going to pray for different things, not just for the service, but for salvations, for the Lord to be in our midst, for whatever we're going to pray for, and whoever's going to lead that. But we're going to pray in that time. And maybe we can put up that slide. Nilan created a slide for us. The times we're going to do it is 25 past five. And it's going to be for 20 minutes till 1:45, okay? Only 20 minutes. Some of you are like, I've not prayed 1 minute in my life. How can I pray for 20 minutes? That's going to be a lot. So what I would love just to explain is that when I do want to make it practical, we're going to meet together here in front. So you're going to see a lot of people in a circle or however much people arrives. Hopefully the full number. And then what we're going to do is, the person, let's say I lead the prayer meeting, I'm going to give prayer points. So we're going to pray for this and for this, okay? Then we're going to most probably sing a song of worship just to fixate our hearts on the Lord. Only one, because we're there for prayer and not for a worship session. And then we're going to break up into smaller groups of about 3-4-ish. And then we're going to pray for those for the remainder time for those two things. And I think it's so incredible because the Bible says we all see in part and we all know in part. And it's so important that if we do not bring our part, we will never see fully. Meaning that this church misses out if I preach every week. Know that. Because you didn't bring your part. I bring a little bit, like a 0.2% bringing it. And then the worship team brings a little bit. And then Nico leading a little bit, and then there's just a little bit, but in the totality we will see. You will pray what the Lord is doing in your heart. He will start to speak to you, and you can bring it. And we trust that in our prayers and in our coming before the Lord, that He would start to speak to us and say, God, what are you saying? Not just what is He saying to the elders, and although He does speak through the elders, what is He saying to us corporately as we come around to pray to Him? So we're going to meet in front, that time slot. If it is raining, we're going to meet in the back, a whole area here. And that is it. Makes sense. There's something in my throat. Any questions? Okay. So, what I would love to do is to read the scripture again. It says, you do not have because you do not ask. I want to say, guys, ladies, let's ask the Lord. Let's ask the Lord as a congregation. Let's, as a family, in a sense, see this in God, see this in scripture, see this in the early church and say, I want to give myself to this. I want to devote myself to this. Yes, it is half an hour earlier at church. Ooh. You would have been earlier for the Sterk Unicorn movies as well. So let's give ourselves to the Lord. Let's come a little bit earlier. Let's be that. Let's not be that 5 minutes past six, I want to rock up here because I want to receive my fast food and then I want to leave. Let everybody bring what we have and see how the Lord breaks out in our midst. One of our partnering, and I'm ending with this, one of our partnering churches in 412 in the Isle of Man actually looked at exactly this, and they looked at the scriptures and they started to apply it. And at this stage, they have about 80 to 90% of their congregation at that prayer meeting before church. Not that it's about the numbers, but we asked the question when Ewan was here, Ewan that preached here, so it's his church, and we asked him, but what was different after that? And he's like, you wouldn't believe. Like the amount of demons that actually start manifesting in their meetings, the amount of physical healings that started to break out, the amount of just growth that happened in their saints, there was a hunger to start to fast. I don't know how you put those two together. But they wanted to, as they started to give of themselves sacrificially, something happened that they want to sacrifice even more, because they saw the life of God break out like never before, because they asked. And I'm like, oh Lord, I want that. My heart as an elder in this congregation is to rock up here 20 past and see 200 people ready to petition the Lord and to say, God, we want to ask for your life. We want to ask for your kingdom to come. We want to say, would you come, Lord, and come and do something special in us? Not because we are special, but we want to give you the glory. That's my true and honest heart for us. Not for the numbers at all, but I've seen, being a part of prayer meetings, how it's changed my life, how it's discipled me, how it's created in me something of just a knowing the Lord better, because I've seen how others know the Lord. Let's stand. Yeah. So let's just close our eyes, and I firstly want to ask that first group, I said I will give an opportunity. And ultimately, there's a saying that says that the church exists for its non-members. That there's something of an inclusivity in the Lord's heart to want to reach out continually to those that do not know Him yet. I actually do think that statement is wrong, because the church exists for its members and its non-members. But there is something of a heart in the Lord that He wants to reach out and bring people into that relationship and into that actually life of prayer, life of communication, life of getting to know Him. And if you've been a part of a church or not, but you've recognized this evening that you do not have a relationship with the Lord, you don't have that intimacy, you don't have that, what we are speaking about, of communicating with God, but you can feel the tug of God on your heart, saying, I want a relationship with you. I would love to give you an opportunity that you can respond. We would love to pray for you and with you. But we need to respond to the call of God. You can't just hide away and say, oh, whatever. So if that's you and you do not have a relationship with the Lord, but you say, Hendra, I recognize and I feel God working in my heart, and I want to respond. With all eyes closed, would you just indicate, maybe by raising your hand, so that I can see who that is, if there's anyone like that? Is there anyone like that? Gentleman here to the right, if we can have some people, maybe Richard next to you. Anyone else? So Father, I want to pray for that gentleman. Greatest miracle is the miracle of salvation, actually. That we had no hope but Jesus. Then Jesus came and gave us hope. And Father, I trust for that gentleman that you would come and establish him and strengthen him in your love. Father, I thank you. In a crowd of 200, you look at him and say, my boyki, love you. Love you. And I'm calling you by name. Father, I trust that you would come and do a miraculous work in his heart. In Jesus' name. But please love the guys around him, Poli, all those guys, just to pray with him and just lead him in a prayer. But for the rest of us, I want to ask this. If something of the scriptures has hit home in your heart, that there's something of, I see what the scripture says, I see what God is asking of us, I would love us to respond. I don't even know how, but we're going to respond now. Maybe in this, that I think I need to repent to you guys. As an elder in this household, I think there's been times that I've neglected corporate prayer, that I've seen it as something that needs to happen, but not something that, in a sense, is central to our very being as believers. So maybe we, firstly, if you resonate even with that, with me, to repent. Repentance means to make an adjustment, in a sense, turning away from passivity and actually leaning into pride, saying, God, I want dependence. So, Father, I want to pray. You can pray on your own, but I'm going to pray. Father, I want to pray as Henry, Lord. I want to repent, Lord. If we have read a multitude of scriptures regarding prayer, and I memorized even these scriptures, Lord, but yet it didn't hit home. Father, come and help me by your Spirit to make an adjustment, Lord, to turn away from selfishness, to turn away from comfort, to turn away from what I think should be, Lord, towards your word, Lord, and align myself with your will. And maybe if you want to commit to this and say, God, I want to grow in corporate prayer. I want to give myself. Yes, it is a discipline. Yes, it is a 20-minute time slot. Yes, we want to pray throughout this week. But to grow in this, I want to commit to that. Maybe just in a response, let's raise our hands and say, God, I want to give myself to this. Father, as Josh Jen Stelly's 6 p.m., God, as a full number, as a unit, Lord, we want to come before you and say, God, God, we want to pray. Lord, teach us how to pray. Holy Spirit, teach us how to pray. Father, I trust that we will be a church that is a devoted people to prayer. That this will not only be something that is found in the scriptures, but it will be made alive in this congregation. That as a church, God, we want to petition you for the more. Father, we want to be a congregation that want to trust you for the life of God. We don't just want to play church on a week-to-week basis. We don't just want the ups and downs. And when there's church, we're doing well. And when there's holidays, we don't do well. But we want to be constant in prayer, constant in fellowship, constant in communion with our God. Father, we want to petition you for Stellenbosch, Lord. Would you come and save our friends and our families and the people around us, God? Father, we just don't want to be a church that exists for a kumbaya, us four and no more, Lord. Father, we want to exist for the lost ones, God. For those that do not know you yet. For those that haven't tasted and seen the truth, that are still in bondage, Lord. Would you come and do something miraculous in this group, God? Would you come, Lord? Even in our midst, God, I trust for revival of holiness. Lord, that sin will not be seen in our midst. That there will be something of just the holiness of God, the pure and spotless bride that you're coming back for, Lord. We want to be beautiful for our God. Oh, we love you, Lord. This is not just for our shine, God, but for your glory. To look the world in its face and say, this is our God. Look at the work that is done among us. Oh Lord, for the fruit is not for us to eat, but for the rest. A tree never eats its own fruit. Oh Lord, I trust that the world will come and eat the fruit of this congregation. Father, that in our prayers that nations will be changed, not just Stellenbosch, this country will be changed by what you are coming to do in our midst, Lord. By the leaders that you're raising up, by the evangelists that you're raising up, by the gifts that you're raising up, by the worshipers that you're raising up, God, by the church planters in this congregation, by the elders and deacons and comm leaders that you're raising up, Lord. Father, I thank you that, yes, we are family, but we are also an army, Lord. Soldiers in your kingdom, God, that want to mightily, by force, take the kingdom of God violently, that there's something of a violence in us to say, we will extend the kingdom of God. We will not allow the temptations to overcome us. Oh Lord, may we be a people that is dependent on you, not independent. Father, come and rid us of pride. No longer, Lord. Oh Lord, and I can see it. I can see it in the Spirit. Watch this space. Watch this space if we find a people on their knees. Oh, no longer will we be a little scooter engine, Lord, but a V8 engine in our prayer closets, Lord. Roaring for the Lord. Oh Lord, we love you. given to your plans and purposes, Lord. Father, would you come and unite the full number. As we lift Jesus up, he draws all men to himself. Father, I trust that you will be lifted up in this house. Teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So I trust that even